Morning, pal.
I'm doing well, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
You know, so much to talk about, but first things first, man. Vote yet?
I did. I voted early because these, believe it or not, these school board elections, while they may not get all the media attention, but these local elections, especially the school board elections, are really, really important. For my money, a school board seat is one of the most important jobs we have. So yes, I did vote, and I voted early.
And we go encourage you to go out and exercise your franchise too, whether it's a school board or city council. I guess there's two mayoral races that I'm aware of. So you've got a number of these items, and sometimes it's. I think I even saw some ward precinct committeeman, I guess, would be the word, and things along that line for ballots on the local level as well. So good reason to get out there.
It really kind of part of it goes to your philosophy. If if you think that that big government is the solution and you build from the top down, then well, maybe you don't care about the local elections. But I'm the opposite. I think one of the truths in life is that you have to build from the ground up if you want to. If you want a strong state, you need strong communities. If you want a strong country, you need strong states. You need to build from the ground up. So that's why these local elections are critical. And like you, I would really encourage everybody to make time today to go vote.
You know, when it comes to Springfield, one of the things that I've learned in interviews, and I've had this very often said, nothing ever dies in Springfield. If it's an idea and it involves revenue, in particular, it just never dies. Is the grand bargain dead?
Well, I think in terms of, I think it's never going to be dead in terms of the fact that there was a lot of good, hard negotiation that was done. And I think President Cullerton and Speaker Rudogno showed that it is possible to try to find common ground. I think I've told you before, I thought they got us about 75% of the way there. And the service that they did was, they did develop a framework that if we could just get Speaker Madigan to sit down with the governor and use that as a framework, I think they could come up with a compromise to end this budget impasse. But as far as, whether or not we're going to see votes on it this week, I doubt that. I'm not hearing a lot of movement on the Republican side right now as far as, bringing up for a vote stuff that's already been looked at.
One item that I did was a published report and read this yesterday that, because the grand bargain involved 13, 14 pieces of legislation that had to be passed as a whole for the grand bargain to work. Now, one of those bills was gambling expansion. I read a published article yesterday, Paul, that said, even without a grand bargain, this gambling expansion could move along, and the people at Walker's Bluff would very much like to hear some news like that.
I think it could, and I think it really was a mistake to tie everything together. I just thought that was kind of politics at its worst, giving politicians the opportunity to vote for what they like and vote against what they dislike, rather than taking responsibility and owning everything. But there are some pieces of this that have got to move. We've got to do something. We had a town hall this past weekend in Carbondale where we talked about just the need, but we've got to get some funding out the door for our higher ed, particularly SIU Carbondale. The idea that we're going to have this huge package that can't go anywhere and keep wasting our time on that, I think is wrong. I think we do need to break it down and start moving some individual pieces of legislation.
The announcement yesterday, the Women's Center will close in 3 months without state funds. They said they have not received state funds since July 1st, although some federal funds have come in. But we've got the Women's Center, an important resource here in Southern Illinois, that says, we're to the end of our road. Very much kind of the thing that SIU is. They're not to the end of the road. They're just going to have to change the vehicle they're driving into a much cheaper, more compact model.
Are you getting ready to go into politics, Tom? That sounds like a political phrasing.
But it does, doesn't it?
The Women's Center thing, that was something that I learned at the town hall. I'm familiar with the Women's Center. I actually did some volunteer work to try to help them out back, seems like a prior lifetime ago, when I was in law school at Carbondale. But what I found out at the town hall on Saturday was the last time that we did a stopgap and got some money out the door, they did not receive any funding whatsoever in that last stopgap. So that was a critical information nugget that was provided to me and Senator Fowler at our Carbondale town hall this past Saturday. And you know, if I have anything to say about it, if you know the next wave of funding that goes out, I'm going to do my best to try to make sure that they are included.
You know, John Cullerton, Senate, is saying he wants this Trust Act passed. This Trust Act involves sanctuary city status. It involves making the entire state of Illinois sanctuary state is what it does. In this legislation that he's supporting, it would ban Illinois law enforcement agencies from helping law enforcement, federal, immigration, unless they have a warrant from a judge that, you know, that we're basically going to tell Illinois law enforcement agencies, and that means whether you're a police officer in Carbondale or Carterville or Chicago, that if the federal people talk to you, you better ask them for a warrant. Don't cooperate with law enforcement. This is one of the things that I, quite frankly, I read this article and I couldn't stop frothing at the mouth for what it represents. And it represents, if you want to break the law, you can. We're going to make an exception.
I'll go even further than that, Tom. I mean, it's just, I feel like, sometimes I feel like I'm living on a different planet or in a different universe from some of these Chicago politicians. But, and maybe it's because of the perspective I have. But, you know, I spent, you know, almost a year of my life in Iraq, working on the Saddam trial, but also the whole point of what we were trying to do with that trial in Iraq, and one of the things that we were trying to emphasize to the Iraqis was the importance of the rule of law. And, you know, when we have legislation that's basically going to undercut the rule of law, that's going to undercut federal law, that just it boggles my mind. And I think that would be just a giant step backward, and I think it's a step backward for our country that this type of legislation is being considered, not only here but elsewhere in the country.
Here's the thing, though. The same day, the Attorney General, Lisa Madigan, goes out and says, we're going to join a state municipal coalition. This is a direct read from the press release from her office. We're going to join a state municipal coalition to announce legal action against the federal government for violating federal law by delaying energy efficiency standards for several common consumer and commercial products. So you say, look, your federal government's not following federal law, and we're going to sue. And while in the Senate, you have a senator says, we're not going to follow federal law. Is it a wonder why this country's in turmoil? Is it a wonder why we are torn in several different directions? Because you've got the Attorney General saying, you're not following the law, and we're going to sue you. And you've got Senator Cullerton says, we're not going to follow the law, and if you come in here and try to enforce it, our agencies are not going to cooperate. It reels back to the term that Paul used, the rule of law and its place in civilization. You cannot selectively enforce one law and then choose to ignore another. If you do, the wheels come off of it, because quite frankly, Paul, I don't feel I should pay property taxes. I think it's against the law. I don't think I should have to wait for a red light. I don't like them. And of course, that's community safety issues. But once you get on this incredibly slippery slope, as a lawyer, as a doctor of jurisprudence, you know what this represents on a fundamental level in this country. You don't want to enforce the law. I don't want to pay attention to it. Law doesn't exist. That's the wild, wild west.
It does, and it really, it is the short road to anarchy. It's something that I will be voting against in the Senate if that does come up for a vote.
So that's the one that I'm watching this morning because of what it represents on a fundamental level. And that's part of it. I mean, so, well, you know, that's not following the law. You mean the law that says you have to have a balanced budget? There are a lot of laws being broken these days.
You know, Springfield right now is not doing a good job. We are failing the people of Illinois right now. That's something that was, you know, that was a message that was given to Senator Fowler and I loud and clear over the weekend. But it was something that it's not fun as an elected official to go listen to. But you know what? You need to face the music sometimes. You need to let your constituents tell you, you know, how you're doing. And right now, the political class in Illinois is failing.
What about this privacy legislation? In particular, catching more attention now since Trump signed the law yesterday that came out of the House and Senate. Illinois politicians say we're going to make sure that privacy regulations exist for the constituents in Illinois.
Well, we need to understand that when you go on the internet, you are putting information out there. You are surrendering some amount of privacy just by getting on the internet. It's scary. It's scary how much people are able to monitor, how much people are able to data mine on you. It's something that that everybody that is listening to this program, you need to be very careful and very selective with what information you give out over the internet.
It's I tell you what, it's one of the deals that I think people, well, you get having fun, and then you want to buy this, and then you use a credit card number for that, then you share a couple of pictures of the kids, and next thing you know, everybody can know anything if they take a little bit of time to go look, I suppose. Senator Paul Shimp, as he joins us this morning, the immediate expectations that you have in the coming days in Springfield, what do you see coming towards your desk? What should we be watching? What's our preview for this week's legislative action, especially in relationship to the budget? Anything you might see coming down the pipe?
Well, I'm hearing rumblings that there might be another stopgap or another supplemental potentially coming out of the House. I know on the Senate side, I have talked with my staff and said, hey, look, if nothing is going to happen, you know, I would like to initiate some legislation that's going to at least provide a stopgap for higher ed. So I believe other senators are starting to put forth some proposals. So I think that we're going to start to see something moving. I think the reason that I'm interested in a higher ed stopgap is I understand that everybody is hurting, that the state of Illinois owes money to, but with higher ed, you have some communities downstate that if the universities close up, if the universities die, you can see whole cities just disappearing. That's not going to happen in Chicago. No matter what happens, Chicago is going to stick around. But if you have, for instance, if SIU really has to pare back its operations, the effect that that's going to have on Carbondale is going to be catastrophic. It's the same thing with Macomb up at Western Illinois, same thing with Eastern Illinois. So, you know, I think that we have got to, you know, we're critical everywhere, but we've got to get some kind of stopgap relief moving, and I'm going to be doing what I can to push that along.
I talked to Illinois State Representative David McSweeney from the Revenue Committee yesterday, and we talked about what is coming in at around 32, and we're spending about 38, maybe 39. He says roughly we're spending $6 billion more a year than what we have coming in under the current situation. And, of course, the legislative, what we're talking about is judicial fiat by much of the spending. But him saying yesterday, live on the air yesterday, that we're spending about $6 billion more a year than we have.
That's correct. I've heard anywhere from five to $8 billion, depending on, you know, on what projections you're using. So the $6 billion, I don't quibble with that figure. The question is, what are we going to do about it? You know,
yes.
Can we cut $6 billion out of the budget? I don't think we can. You know, maybe a couple decades ago we could have made up whatever the delta was at that time with just eliminating waste. So I think that I don't think that we can solve this with spending cuts alone, but at the same time there do have to be cuts. And one of the things that has been frustrating for me in Springfield is it seems like some of the Chicago legislators just don't get it. Even though we're broke and we don't have extra money to be spending, they're looking at creating new programs. That was one of the reasons that I voted against that gun dealer licensing bill that you and I have talked about before, was because that would create a whole new bureaucracy within the office of the Illinois Attorney General to enforce, you know, enforce these restrictive gun laws that are duplicative of what the federal government already has. So, you know, we have this huge gap between what we, you know, what we're getting and what's going out, and unfortunately not all the legislators realize that we're out of money. We can't keep expanding programs.
Yeah. And now the election cycle is starting to reflect in people's actions even more.
It is. Politics is here. Unfortunately, you know, that's impacting the budget negotiations. It's been reported on Capital Facts, you know, not a right-wing blog, a left-wing blog. It's been reported that, you know, Speaker Madigan doesn't want to give the governor a budget until after the 18 elections. I hope that is incorrect. We can't go until after 18 with a budget. I really fear what the consequences will be. I'm hoping it is the Easter season. That's a season of forgiveness. It's a season about new life. I'm hoping that people are willing to say, you know what, let's just kind of, you know, let's put aside whatever slights we feel have been done to us and try to say, what do we have to do to get a budget for the state? What can we do to try to make things better?
Hey, you know, Paul, I'm not clinically paranoid, but, you know, I'm pretty close. You know, unreasonable fear of things that do not exist is like the definition of paranoia. But you know what I've started noticing when I watch so much on the state level and the federal level of the news? I start to get the sense that people in Washington, D.C., have seen how the Democrats have handled the Republican big money governor in Illinois and said, let's do the same thing in Washington, D.C. to Donald Trump that the Democrats have done to Warner in Illinois, and we'll just frustrate at every turn. We'll push him back in the corner. We'll just keep, you know, everything that we do will obstruct. And I could swear somebody in D.C. says, you know, I think we ought to steal that Illinois Democratic game plan on how they stifled their leader, and let's do it here in D.C.
Well, I think the big difference, though, between D.C. and Illinois is in Illinois, we have a Republican governor, but that's it. The Democrats control all the other branches of government, and it's Speaker Madigan that really is the one that has to move any legislation. If he does not want to move legislation, it's not going to move. Whereas in D.C., you do have a Republican. You have a Republican House, a Republican Senate, so in theory, we should be able to move some legislation in D.C. But in Illinois, it is Speaker Mike Madigan that controls everything, and until he decides that he's ready to have a budget, not much is going to get done here.
Senator Paul Shipp, Paul, thanks for your time. I know he kept you really long today, but I really appreciate every minute.
Well, I enjoyed the discussion, Tom. We were kind of all over the place, but it was fun.